I've said for a long time on this show that over time, when it pertains to how two different people in this field discuss TMS and chronic pain, they use different terminology, but really they're talking about exactly the same thing. And this came up recently when I was thinking about graded exposure. Let's get into it. First of all, before I start, it is Friday, December the 19th, 2025, 6 days away from Christmas. If you're in the Pacific Northwest, I don't know how you're dry. It feels like it has not stopped raining in a month and a half here, and we have record flooding, and I'm okay. I'm safe. My family's good. We're way above sea level, so it just hasn't been an issue. But a lot of the clients that I work with, it is an issue for them, and so it's been terrible along several rivers around the area. So thoughts go out to anybody that's been impacted by those, for sure. Before I get started, I want to make sure I thank the patrons of the podcast. Go to patreon.com/themindandfitnesspodcast. And consider throwing a couple bucks in the tip jar. There's been quite a few of you who've been around for years and years and years, some almost as long as this podcast has been around. So thank you so much for continuing to show up every single week, month, and year to support the show. So I've been thinking a lot about the difference between ego-driven progression and nervous system activity. So I'm going to make a little bit of a leap here. As you know, I coach the soccer team for Zoe. And then last spring, I helped out a little bit with Audrey's softball team. And in the summer, I did the head coaching gig for her softball team. And then this coming spring, I'm either going to be an assistant coach or a helper or nothing. We'll see. But Audrey is sort of teetering between two different softball levels. I was sitting down to handle the registration for her. She's going to be 8 years. She's seven right now. She turns eight in a couple of weeks. And so she's 8 years old. She's in second grade. And if you know Audrey, you know that she has pure confidence. She's athletic, she's aggressive at the plate, and she's ready for the big leagues. And in our local league, that meant that we had a choice. Do I put her in rookies, or do I jump her up to 89ers? And typically in 89ers, at least in the registration, it says this is where older third and fourth graders play. In the 89ers, it's kind of like the show. It's where like softball sort of begins for these kids. It's where player pitch starts. It's faster. It's harder. It feels like the next logical step for a kid who's as confident as she is. But here's the catch. Audrey hasn't mastered catching a ball with her glove. She can hit. She can run. But that fundamental piece of being able to track a ball and put it in the pocket of the glove and then squeeze it, it's not a reflex yet. There just hasn't been enough reps. So I made a decision, and I'm going to keep her in rookies. And as I was clicking submit on that registration, I realized that this is exactly what I'm talking about on the show when I discuss graded exposure. I feel like I've talked about this quite a bit lately, but not positive. You give it to me. And I think that when I've chatted with people over the years, and I talk about getting back to the maximum amount of activity that you possibly can as quick as you can, I think that some people think that I mean, hey, like, go from doing nothing and being bedridden or couch ridden to lifting 500 pounds on a deadlift. And that's not what I mean at all. It just means pushing yourself just a little bit further every single time. So in 89ers, because again, these kids are 8 years old or 9 years old, hence the name 89ers. The pitching is erratic. It's slow moving. There's a lot of walks. There's a lot of dead time. But in rookies, it's coach pitch. It's with a safety ball. It's a strike every time, and that means that Audrey's going to get a high volume success. So she's going to get ball after ball hit to her. She's going to build those neural pathways of ball plus glove equals safety over and over again. And in the TMS world, we're so often guilty of trying to play up before our nervous system is ready. We want to be back in the CrossFit gym. We want to be back hitting PRs. We want to be back lifting. And for some people, that might mean that they're also back running long distances or even maybe running around the block, right? So there's all these things. We want to try and prove it to ourselves that we are fixed by doing the hardest thing possible. We really let our ego pick the division that we play in. But if your brain still perceives movement as threat, if you haven't mastered the glove work of feeling safe in your own body, then jumping into the big leagues isn't a progression. it's going to be a recipe for a potential flare-up. So today I want to talk to you about why staying in the rookies division for your recovery is actually the most elite move that you can make. We're diving into why a volume of success is more important than the intensity of challenge when you're retraining a sensitized nervous system, which is what, if you're listening to this, unless you're just a fan, in all likelihood you have. We're going to talk about how to protect your confidence while you bridge the gap to your skills. So think about it like this. The 10x repetition rule. Rewiring your brain, neuroplasticity, requires a lot of volume. In traditional physical therapy, a patient might do 30 repetitions of a movement. However, neuroplasticity research, specifically in motor learning and stroke recovery, suggests that it takes between 300 and 400 repetitions per session in order to actually trigger structural changes in the brain. So most people try to play up by doing 5 scary heavy reps. So I mentioned going from lifting nothing to doing 500-pound deadlifts. Or in this case, maybe it's a set of 5 of 200 or 250 or 300 pounds. But the brain doesn't learn safety from 5 reps. It learns from 400. So doing a significantly lighter weight and then doing it in a linear progression fashion where you're doing a ton of reps at a very, very low weight, and then the next time it's a little bit more weight, the next time it's a little bit more weight. Audrey in rookies isn't just playing. She's getting 50 ground balls a game instead of 2. So she's hitting a neuroplastic threshold that simply just doesn't exist in the higher and slower divisions. Earlier on in doing this show, 7 or 8 years ago, when I would ask for suggestions about maybe authors or people that I should come onto the podcast and talk, Laura Moore Mosley was talked about a lot. Laura Moore Mosley notes that the pain is in the brain's best guess of what is happening. So recovery happens when we create a prediction error, where the brain predicts pain, such as a hard ball being hit at the hand, but experiences safety, like a softball in the glove. If the challenge is too high, that 89ers division, the brain's perception of danger is confirmed by the erratic environment. If the environment is controlled, like in rookies, we can maximize that error. So every time the brain says this will hurt and doesn't, a neural pathway's safety is reinforced. Sarno talked about this in his books as well. So if you have pain bending over to pick up your baby, and then you go out into the living room and you pick up a chair, pick up a table or whatever, and you don't have pain, this is where your investigator hat needs to come on. So BDNF, which is brain-derived neurotrophic factor, is the miracle grow for brain rewiring. Research shows that while high-intensity exercise boosts BDNF, high levels of cortisol can actually block those neuroplastic benefits. So if you're playing up and your system is in a heightened sense of alert or fear, you're literally clogging the pipes of your own recovery. You stay in that lower division, whether we're talking about kids softball or we're talking about recovering from chronic pain or symptoms, stay in the lower division where the stress is low, keep your cortisol down, let your system do its thing with pain-free patterns. A major hurdle in TMS recovery is the belief that soreness means damage. Graded exposure is a good, safe environment that allows each of you to experience safe soreness. So in the rookies, Audrey might get a sting in her palm, but she knows the ball is soft because it's with a safety ball. It hurts, but it's not harm. Overall, like the big goal, we're teaching the brain to distinguish between the sensation of movement and the threat of injury. For a long time, we've heard this term of baby steps. So the 100 to 1 neuroplasticity ratio, and this kind of goes back to that overemphasizing reps that I was talking about earlier. So research into motor learning and brain reorganization, often cited by neuroscientists like Dr. Michael Mrzenich, suggests that while the brain can notice a new movement in a few reps, it will take hundreds of successful non-threatening repetitions to create a permanent structural change. When I was first learning Olympic-style weightlifting, I was using a broomstick or a PVC pipe for a long time. And then you gradually progress into a barbell. And then you can gradually increase by putting on a little bit of weight, then a little bit of weight, then a little bit of weight. If you do 5 scary reps in the gym where every single time that you extend your hips into full extension, but you feel like this could be the time that my back is going to explode or my vertebrae is going to go or like whatever, your brain learns that movement as the threat. If you do 500 baby steps, meaning 500 reps in a safe environment, the rookies, your brain finally accepts that you are in fact out of danger. So pain is really the brain's best prediction of danger based on past data. Graded exposure works like a violation of expectation. Your brain predicts that bending over will hurt. When you do a baby step version of that, and the bend does not hurt, you've now created that prediction error. Your brain to question itself. This goes back to reaching into the crib to pick the baby up and my back hurts. But then I go into the living room and I pick up a chair or something like that, and it does not hurt. Ooh, that doesn't make any sense. It's the same movement. It's the same weight. But this doesn't hurt. And you get enough of those errors in a row, that pain signal eventually shuts off. So reverting back to this idea of the deadlifts, for instance, when you play up in a league that you're not ready for, meaning a 500-pound deadlift versus just a barbell, your cortisol spikes because you're scared. So like you go from doing nothing to going way too in, way too hard, like boom, everything's screaming at you. That stress is clogging the pipes of your recovery. One thing that we know about a lot in a lot of these books that have been written on the topic is about modern imaging, so MRIs. I've talked about this book that I read or that a therapist recommended to me years ago called Overdiagnosed. And the concept of it is that we have so much better imaging, so much better testing, yet our outcomes haven't really changed all that much in the last 20 or 30 or 40 years. So there's a high percentage of the population walking around right now that would have abnormal findings on an MRI or on imaging, but have zero pain, bulging disc, meniscus tears. I mean, I remember the physician assistant for the surgeon that I used for my shoulder told me that probably about 50% of people over the age of 40 or 50, it was one of those, is walking around with a torn rotator cuff right now. One of my favorite movies, as you all know, is The Dark Knight, but it's really the Dark Knight trilogy. And I've played the lead-in or one of the scenes to Batman Begins a lot. Bruce Wayne's journey is really a great case study on graded exposure. He doesn't just put on the suit. He starts by returning to the very well that he fell into as a child. So he goes into that well, if you recall this from Batman Begins, and he stands in there as the bats swarm him. And when this happened when he was a little kid and a bat came around him, he freaked. And he's had this stress response forever, as long as up until he was like adult Bruce Wayne. But in this case, he returns because he needs to be able to conquer the fear. He doesn't fight them because that's just going to make the stimulus worse. And then remember one of the quotes in there, why do we fall? So we can learn to pick ourselves back up. And in TMS terms, why do we have flare-ups? It's so that we can practice baby steps of proving that we are safe. I had the worst flare-up of my life 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. I couldn't get off the ground. I army crawled to my phone to text Brad Gutting and tell him how shitty I was feeling. But I knew that it was BS. Life was awfully chaotic at that time. So what did I do? Graded exposure. Now, it was a very compressed graded exposure, but day one, lifting lightweight. Day two, lifted a little bit more. Day three, I'm lifting medium. Day four, day five, day six, day seven, I'm going back to full speed. So that's what I got on graded exposure. I love talking about this stuff. Give me a shout. There's a little bit of a shorter episode. A lot of us are probably on vacation right now as we listen to this. So thanks so much for joining me while you're walking your dog, walking your kid, walking your cat, whatever it is. Hope you all have a great holiday. It's going to be a re-air for next week. I'm going to put it on maybe even like Tuesday to not dip into Christmas Eve. But give me a shout. Say hello. Love to hear from you. Eddie with the Mind and Fitness Podcast. Take care.